Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. If you're our guest today, first of all, we're so glad to have you with us. Second of all, if you have a guest registration card, if you'd fill that out and just drop that in the wooden boxes where everybody else drops their offering and their tithes. Or you can scan the QR code on the back of your bulletin there and it'll pull it up. If you have an Apple phone, if you have a Google phone, then you got to get a QR code reader. But anyway, you can find that there. And for all of our guests and those of you that have been coming for a while and maybe you're interested in membership, you want to know what it means to be a member, part of the family here at East, we're going to treat you like family even when you're not officially family. But next week is our, I just want to mention this, our membership meeting. We do this, we try to do it once a quarter. The last year and a half has been kind of interesting to try to fit that in and make it work and all those kind of things. But if you have any interest at all, there's information on the front of the bulletin there on the website. I just encourage you, come check us out. It's a place for you to get to know us and for us to get to know you. And there's no contracts to sign. Well, actually, something you will sign if you want to join. But there's no obligation, none of that kind of stuff. And so we just love to have you join us there. And then Joy mentioned after the service today, us pastors will be in the back in our multipurpose room there. We've got coffee, donuts, water. It's mainly for our guests, folks, okay? If you really need a cup of coffee, I mean, like, you're just, you know, you don't need to go to small group without your coffee. You can come get one, too. But we just want to meet you. We got a gift for you. If you'll fill out that guest registration card for us, so we got a gift for you. We got to kind of bribe you to get that information. We won't sell it, but we will use it to pray for you and to share any information with you you'd like to know about the church. I'm not mad today. This is my annual reminder that you should put sunscreen on when you go watch two softball games at one time. And so if it looks like I'm mad or angry or my face is redder than normal, that's just because I got a little extra dose of vitamin D yesterday. And it was a good day, but it was nice to be outside. Anybody glad to see the snow gone? Amen. One last thing. There are still a couple of places on our campus that are slick. We tried to clear out, especially over there by the children's building. I busted it one time yesterday at the ballpark. If you'd have seen a video, you would have died laughing. It was hilarious. I wasn't hurt at all, but it was smooth. I mean, it was like step, step, shoo. I mean, it was just gone. There was no fighting it or anything. It was just straight down. And I don't want that to happen to any of you, especially if you're holding one of your youngins on the way out. So just be careful. We tried to put some cones out different places where it may still be slick, but just please pay attention today as best you can. So we started this series a couple weeks ago, and this is one of the passages that I kind of circle. When a preacher preaches through a book of the Bible, if we're all honest, there's just some passages that I've got about three in Ephesians that I'm just like, man, and I gave one of those away to one of our other pastors, but I can't wait till we get to that text, and this is that text, okay? So I would tell you, get your Bible, have it in front of you, look to the main words, buckle in, and we're going to roll, all right? Because this is good stuff. I really believe this is a good picture of the reality of our spiritual journey. The reality of our spiritual journey, and I've got three realities in that journey that I want to share with you today. But if I had a title, Ms. Fried, if I had a title, I would entitle this, But God. But God. Some of you have heard the song by Danny Gokey, But God, and it's based on this passage, and it's really the turning point of this passage. But my friends, it's the turning point of our lives. Just think it for a moment. But God. But God. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10, and I want you to see the three realities. And the first reality I want you to see is the destruction of sin. The four characteristics, there's like 12 points in this sermon overall, but I promise you it's going to go fast. It's going to go fast. And so the four characteristics of the unsaved person, we'll see it in the text here in the first three verses. Read with me as we start. Paul writes, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." The destruction of sin, what sin has done against us, the four characteristics of every unsaved person is right here in the text. This is all of us. There's not a man, woman, boy, or girl that's ever walked the earth that these four characteristics do not apply to before they met Jesus, except for Jesus. Jesus didn't have these characteristics because he was sinless, perfect, the sacrifice. But all of us had these. And here they are. One, he is dead. We are spiritually dead before we came to Christ. We weren't spiritually sick. We weren't spiritually even in a coma. We were spiritually dead. And just like when somebody is physically dead, they cannot respond to physical things. When you are spiritually dead, you're not able to respond to spiritual things without some sort of miracle. And that miracle is but God. We were dead in what? In our trespasses and our sins. We're not only dead, but we were disobedient. Our nature was to rebel. How many of y'all just love authority? Have authority over me. Tell me what to do. Anybody just want to sign up? That's because by nature, we are rebellious and we are disobedient. He says it in the text that we are sons of disobedience. We are disobedient. We're disobedient for several reasons. It gives a couple reasons why our nature is disobedient. The course of this world, the influences around us influence us towards disobedience. The world does not want us to walk tight with Jesus. It doesn't want us to be more like Jesus. It wants us to be more like them, and we can be influenced by the world. It says we're following the course of this world, and it says this, following the prince of the power of the air, the devil, Lucifer, Satan, the adversary. He's real. As much as Jesus is real, he's real. Now, can I just remind you, he's defeated. He doesn't know it yet, he knows it even. He just doesn't want to admit it. And there's coming a day where he's going to be chained and there's nothing he can do. Can I just tell you this? He's on a leash already. He can't touch you outside of God's sovereign plan. So I don't necessarily like the book of Job because I know sometimes that's been God's sovereign plan. But he's on a leash. He can only do that which God allows. And you can trust if God allows, it's for your good and for God's glory. We're dead. We're disobedient. And it talks about the course of this world. It talks about the prince of the power of the air. But here's our biggest problem. You saw your biggest problem this morning. Well, hopefully you did. Looking around, most of you probably did because most of you at least look like you looked in a mirror. A couple of the guys' hairs look like maybe they didn't. But most of you look like you looked in a mirror and you saw your biggest problem. And I saw my biggest problem, and it looks back at me every morning. It's not the world. It's not even Satan. My biggest issue is Tommy. Sons of disobedience. We're disobedient. We're dead. Not only that, we're depraved. Look there at the text again in verse 3. Among whom we also once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. We want to do what we want to do. And a lot of times we want to do what we want to do, even if it's something God has told us that he would not have us to do. This is who we are absolutely before Christ, and let's just be real, we still wrestle with these things even after Christ. Dead, disobedient, depraved, but the worst part of this is we were doomed. We were doomed, it says, and we're by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. What does that mean? We were under the wrath of God. We were deservingly under God's judgment. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were disobedient in just our very nature. We are depraved in our desires and what we would want to just please ourselves rather than please God. And we were doomed. I almost used another word that starts with D, but I just didn't want to have young people in here, but it would fit. That's what the very meaning of the word is. And deservingly so. Dead, disobedient, depraved, rightfully doomed and under the wrath of God. If I stopped there, that'd be kind of a rough sermon, wouldn't it? But look in verse 4. Do you see it? But God. I really believe it's two of the most important words in all the Bible. We are all those things. We were all those things before Christ. Some of you are still in that part of the journey, that reality. But God has made a way for us to be made right with him. We see the destruction of sin, the four characteristics of the unsaved person. But now we see the deliverance of a Savior, the four activities of God. I want you to see it in the text. I love the phrase, but God, it's the introduction to all that God is getting ready to do. We are in this state. It is sad. It is pitiful. It would be hopeless, but God, look what he's done. Look what he's done. But God being rich in mercy, here's what he's done. Because of his great love with which he loved us. God's loved us. Even when we don't deserve loving, God loves us. Can I just tell you this morning, I can tell you on a fact from the Bible, an accuracy of the Word of God, that no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what unconfessed sin is still there, God loves you. He may not like some of the things we're doing, but He loves you. And He could not love you more than what He loves you right now. God loves you. He loved us. You see, we're not saved by God's love, but God's love produces grace and mercy by which we are saved. Romans 5:8 said it this way, that God demonstrates His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, it didn't say we got right, we did some good things, we made some right choices. It says while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Does sunburn make your voice squeak? I've heard it twice now. I'm 47. I mean, I shouldn't have to deal with this anymore. I'm excited. I think that's what it is. I'm excited. He loved us. And not only did He love us, He made us alive with what it says in the text. With the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. You see my points in the text, right? I'm not just telling you some story. I'm walking through the text. He made us alive. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but God has made us alive together with Christ. Remember the phrase in Christ and in Him and with Christ. Paul is pointing us over and over and over again that it is about Jesus. By grace, you have been saved. I always love that word grace. It's a derivative of the word charis. Charis. There's a reason we named our daughter what she's named, who, by the way, is 16 today. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll give you shout outs for your kids' birthdays for a contribution to the building fund. Amen. You all right? I've already made mine this month, so I got it. Amen. You all right? That's good. He made us alive by grace. Grace is unmerited favor. We didn't deserve it. But God loved us. He made us alive. Not only did He love us and make us alive, He exalted us. He raised us up. Now, don't get a haughty idea what's going on here, but you need to understand what God has done. We go from being an enemy of God to being a child of God. Not only are we forgiven of our sins, but we are adopted into the family. I love y'all. And I consider you brothers and sisters, but I'm probably not inviting you to be a part of my family in the same way God's invited us. I can't feed all of you. And not only that I was not just a friend of God that was on the outskirts or somebody that God kind of knew. I was an enemy of God when I was dead, depraved, disobedient, and doomed. And I'm not just forgiven of sin. I've been imputed the righteousness of Jesus. I just want you to understand the depth and the richness of the transaction that has taken place if you've been saved. The difference that it makes. He exalted us. Listen to the language Paul uses in Romans 8, 15 through 17. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And listen to this, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. When I was younger in the ministry, I would walk into my dad's study. My dad's a pastor as well, 71, still pastoring a church in North Carolina. He retired for a couple years. He didn't like retirement, but anyway. I don't know if he felt like it wasn't too biblical. He just got to where he couldn't. He had some health issues and had to step aside, but then when he felt better, he stepped back in. He stepped back into the pastorate, and I would go into his office, and I'd kind of look around, and he'd say, what are you looking at, son? I said, I'm just looking at my inheritance. I was looking at his books, because preachers like books. Now, I just tell you, and I'm saying this in a haughty way or a bragging way, but I've got more books than my dad now. I mean, when I was a seminary professor, they send you books all the time, just trying to get you to use them in your classes, and I've got a lot of books. So now I go and stand in front of his gun cabinet and just look for a little while. I don't have some of those rifles, you know. You are heirs of God. So at the church, I want you to just go outside and look around and just, I want to remind you that your inheritance, that what you see out there, as beautiful as it is, doesn't even begin to come close to start to look like what we will inherit from our Father. Amen. He lifted us up in Christ Jesus, raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. See, you keep seeing that phrase, right? In Christ Jesus, with Christ Jesus, in Him, in Christ. He keeps us. You say, preacher, well, how do you get that He keeps us from that phrase? Because it says, in the coming ages, for God to use us to bring Himself glory, He is going to keep us throughout all the time that He can say, look, that is My prize. That is those that I have redeemed. And Jesus does not lose those that are His. Look how He says we're saved. I want you to get this. I've been hitting this a lot in Ephesians because I think Paul's hitting it a lot of in Ephesians. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Can I just tell you a couple truths right here? You had nothing to do with your salvation. It is not by works that any man should boast. It is by the grace and the gift of God. And because you had nothing to do with earning your salvation, you have nothing to do with keeping your salvation. You're saved by grace and you're kept by grace. Now, it ought to change you, and we're going to get to that in a minute. But the change is not what keeps you saved. It's not what saves you, and it's not what keeps you saved. It's the work that Jesus has done. Salvation cannot be of works because the work of salvation has already been completed on the cross and through the resurrection. Study other world religions. All of the major ones, and even most of the minor ones, and it's all a list of things you ought to do. Do this, do this, do this, do this, and maybe you'll get this. Do, 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 and do. And Jesus says, it is done. Do you see the difference? Our journey, the reality of our journey before Christ was we were dead, we were disobedient, we were depraved, and we were doomed. But God loved us, made us alive, He's exalted us, He's lifted us up in Christ Jesus, and He keeps us as His own. Sin worked against us, God worked for us, and now God works through us. Look at verse 10. I believe we see the description of the saint. We saw the destruction of sin. We saw the deliverance of a Savior. Now we see the description. Once you're saved, you are a saint of God, a child of God. And verse 10 gives your description. Look what it says. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Y'all gonna get that phrase down before we get through this book, I promise you. In Christ Jesus. What? For good works. You see, we're not saved by good works. We're saved for good works. The words mean something in the text. We are His workmanship. I don't bring this up a lot, but the original word there, the Greek word in the Greek text is poemia. P-O-E-M-I-A is how you transliterate it. Poem. A good translation of that would be, and some translations have it this way, maybe some of you have a Bible that has it this way, is we are God's, not workmanship, but His masterpiece. We are His work of art. What for? So people could look at us? Nah. Let me give you an illustration. I believe if we're going to have the discussion about who the goat, which goat is used way too much, but if you don't know what goat stands for, greatest of all time, Jesus is the answer. But if we want to talk about other sports or other places, I guarantee you Jesus would have dunked all over Michael Jordan, all right? You all right? I'm just saying. If He wanted to. But when we talk about the goat of basketball, I believe the discussion ends with Michael Jordan. No. Some of y'all, LeBron, or whatever. LeBron would not exist if it had not been for Michael Jordan. LeBron is standing on the shoulders of Michael Jordan. LeBron couldn't have tied Michael Jordan. Anyway, praise the Lord. All right, you all right? But if you were able to watch Michael play live, you would recognize, as much as I hate to admit that a Tar Heel is one of the greatest of all time, I think we should probably use the phrase one of with LeBron and Michael and all those. If you want to make the argument, at least walk in some humility. So I'll try to walk in humility. But when you saw Michael do things, like his dunk from the free throw line, or some of his, I can't even pretend to do them. I mean, it's like he would move his body in midair and just, you know, like, whoa. You didn't say, man, did you see what that basketball did? What'd you do? You said, well, now with Tom Brady, you might have looked at the football just to see how much air was in it. But I'm talking about with. That was wrong, wasn't it? I planned it. I planned that one. I'm just saying. We didn't look at the basketball. The basketball was just an instrument in the hand of an artist, a very good but yet very imperfect artist. We look to the person. When God has made us his masterpiece, his workmanship, it's not for the world to look at us. It's for the world to be in awe of the artist, of the creator. That's why you are his masterpiece. Here's what hit me between the eyes. God, help me live a life that's worthy of that calling. Help me be real. And only by his grace can I accomplish that task. I don't want people to look at me. I don't want them to look at you. I don't want them to look at East and our ministries. I want them to be in awe of the God that we serve. And that's what Paul wanted for the Ephesians, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Here's the deal. I don't really have any takeaways today because I just think the takeaway is the whole message, and I'm just not going to repeat the whole thing again, but God prepared before you even breathe air good works that you should walk in them. It was laid out. You say, preacher, I've messed it up. Can I just remind you, God knew where the mess ups were going to be too. If you're breathing, he's not done. He's not finished. It's not over yet. All these songs are popping in my head. But he's worthy. We were dead, disobedient, depraved, and doomed. But God loves us, made us alive in Christ Jesus, exalted us in Christ Jesus to his side, and he keeps us as his own. Why? So that he can show us to the world as something that gives him glory. We are his masterpiece. What do we do with that? The only response that makes any sense to me is to pour out my life for Christ Jesus. Will you bow with me? There's some in this room, in a crowd this size. Most of you grew up in the Bible Belt. You've heard all this so many times. Most of you have heard it so many times. But here's the most important question any of us would face. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? I'm not asking you if you've been to church. I'm not even asking you if you've been baptized. I'm not asking you if you've read your Bible. Although if you have a personal relationship, you've probably read your Bible. Has it been real to you? Have you recognized your sinfulness, that you were dead, that you were disobedient, that you were depraved, that you were doomed, that your nature was to rebel against God, but you recognize what God has done? And you've received his grace, his love, his making you alive in Christ Jesus. You've recognized that he's made you a child of God, that you are his. With all of our flaws and with all of our mistakes and with all of our heartache that we must cause him, we are his children. If you've never been saved, oh, I pray that as soon as we start singing, you'll come take my hand or one of these other pastors to my left, your right, in the room over here. You'll come see us in the multipurpose room and just talk with us. I pray, I beg, that the Lord would draw you to himself, that you would not leave this building without settling that most important relationship. And for the rest of us, you are his masterpiece. You are his poem. You're his workmanship. You're his child. And he has prepared works for you to walk in them. May we walk in them. Some of you, God's shown you something. God spoke something. Now listen, I'm telling you, when you walk with him, he shows you stuff to do. He tells you things to change. He tells you things to put off. He tells you things to put on. He tells you things to stop. He tells you things to start. And all our job is just, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I think there's some folks in this room, he's shown you something that scares you a little bit. It might even be out of your comfort zone. It might be different than anything you've done before. But biblically, you've just seen God's called you to something. Maybe there's someone in this room that God's called to the mission field. I did not plan this in the invitation, but I sense like God's not, he doesn't have us here just to go through the motions. Just to play church. Maybe there's somebody in here that God's called to full-time vocational ministry. Maybe God's laid a name on your heart of somebody that he's told you to go share the gospel with. It might be as simple as he told you, go give somebody a phone call or a card or a hug or whatever it might be. Listen, just as we walk with God, are you walking with God, realizing you are his workmanship, you are his masterpiece. He wants to brag on himself through you. Oh God, let us be those types of instruments. Nobody will look at the basketball or the painting or whatever it might be, but they would look at the artist. They would look at the creator. Ah, that they would see Jesus in us. In this time of response, Lord, help us to be obedient to whatever it is you would have us to do. Do whatever you desire to do in us so that you can do whatever you desire to do through us for your glory. God, don't let us leave this place without recognizing the incredible transaction that has taken place for those of us that have already been saved, and for some that, Lord, I pray you would save right now in this hour. Christian, pray. Christian, obey. Non-Christian, come talk to somebody that we can share with you what God has already done. There's nothing left to be done. He has completed the task that you might be saved. Lord Jesus, have your way as we respond to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.